Oh, you have blessed us with a wonderful music this morning. It's been a wonderful morning of worship. I know you've been blessed as I have as well. I had a very interesting experience this past week. And by the way, Libby, I want to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to go to Decatur, Alabama, where we served our last church before moving back to Millington. It was the 75th anniversary of the church, and they invited former pastors and staff ministers and members to return. It was like a old-fashioned family reunion. We had a great, great time, and the Lord blessed. And so and Dale preached for me a great message, two great messages on Sunday. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, buddy. And thank you, and we're glad to be back home with you. And just wanted to let you know how much it meant to Libby and me to have the opportunity to be there for that homecoming celebration, anniversary celebration. Something else happened about 2 weeks ago. I don't think it's ever happened quite like that before. I got a phone call. And when I picked up my telephone, it was ringing and it had the caller ID. The caller ID was a young man that I've known for probably 40 years and heard from him in probably 10 years, 5 years at least. And so I picked up the phone. And we renewed our fellowship together, a gentleman I've known for a number of years. And then he said, in kind of passing, he said, "Brother Jackie, you ever heard of 10 marks of a great church?" I thought for a moment, I said, well, my response was, "It does sound familiar." He said, "Well, it should, because you preached it at a church in Huntsville, Alabama, in the name of the year. It's been almost 20 years ago now." He said, "God spoke to my heart through that message. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you and thank you for preaching the word." And I thought, Lord, thank you for every once in a while just a little word of affirmation that's so precious and special and meaningful. So this morning I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is not too bad. It's a 10-point sermon. The good news is I'm going to preach it in two parts. Which are half of this morning, half of it tonight. So you come back tonight, you have the last 5 points of 10 marks of a great church or 10 marks of a healthy church. And I want us to look at it together from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18. And I want to talk about the church a little while. There won't be anything new today, but something we need to be reminded of. We don't need necessarily new truth. We need to apply old truth that never gets old. So in the passage before us, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, 10 marks of a great church or 10 marks of a healthy church. We use those titles interchangeably. I want you to look at it together this morning. Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The wonderful message of our Lord Simon Peter was, "Simon Peter, you confess that I'm Christ, the Son of the living God. And on your confession, I'm going to build what we're calling the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly of the saints, that which you and I are a part of even today in the service, a part of the Lord's church and the Lord's family." And the book of Acts is a wonderful book that describes, and Wayne, this has got just a little bit of a ring to it, I think. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I love the book of Acts because it talks about the church and gives us the historical context. And so I want to talk to you about 10 marks of a great church or a healthy church for just a moment. And then ask ourselves the question, if every church were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Now the reason I say that is because years ago, one of the fine deacons in the church I pastored, we pastored at Bethany Baptist in Town Creek. Brother Darrell Copeland. Brother Darrell was one of our deacons and one of our fine friends and neighbors. And he came to me one day with a cutting out of a newspaper article or some article somewhere. And he said, "Pastor, I found a phrase that I thought you might be interested in hearing." And he said, "It struck a nerve with me, and so it might with you." And then he said again what I just now shared with you. If every member of my church were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? And I thought that's a simple saying, but it's a significant saying. I want us to look together this morning and ask ourselves the question, Lord, how can we make our church a great church? How can we make our church a healthy church? And I want to say to Stacy, thank you for the bulletin and the good examples and the wonderful truths that you put in there. It's always a great, great job. Well done. I want, in the way of background, to call to our attention several verses that you found in your study guide this morning. And they all echo the words of our Lord. I'm going to build a great church, Jesus told Simon Peter. And we're a part of divine destiny. And in that we're a part of the church the Lord gave himself to die for. A healthy church, a great church, could be said to be marked, as was the book of Acts, by four or five very wonderful truths. First of all, Acts 2 says that they were marked by great fear, and fear and great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Great fear, great reverence for the things of God, great reverence for the work of God and the will of God. One of the things that I want to be sure that we do is do all things under the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And be careful not to take things lightly. And not to take things irreverently. And the things of God are holy things. Sometimes we forget that we're about the Lord's business. And he has entrusted you and me the ministry of carrying out and fulfilling the call of God to the church to share the gospel of the whole world. And so one of the marks of a healthy church, in the way of a background introduction, is it's marked by great fear or respect for the things of God. In Acts chapter 4, there's also the great church is marked by great power. The wonderful word used in the Greek language is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted. And one of the signs of a healthy church and a growing church and a strong church and a great church is the fact that we have the power of God upon our lives. I'm well aware that God uses ordinary people because he chose to use me and he chose to use all of us, and we're vessels. But the truth is, we're vessels that God wants to anoint for his use and set aside for his glory. And one of the great things about a healthy church is made of imperfect people who serve a living and a perfect Lord. Great fear marks a church as holy and healthy. Great power marks a church as healthy and great. And not only great fear and great power, but great joy. I especially love this one. Acts 2:47, the church was said, be praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. I get kind of tickled. I've been around a long time and heard a number of things people have said about worship. And one of the things I want us to be reminded of is this. You don't have to worry about emphasizing praise in your worship service. Because you see, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And one of the great things we need to be reminded of is when I praise the Lord, it sets me free to celebrate the goodness of God in Christ. So we all celebrate the goodness of God differently and express our joy differently. But praising God, having faith with all the people. I hope when people speak of Calvary Church, that they speak of a church where it's all right to praise the Lord. It's all right to honor the Lord. It's all right to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Healthy churches, strong churches, great churches are marked by great power, great fear, great joy, and have a great testimony. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 again. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And as a church blessed the people of God. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved, or such as were being saved. What the Bible teaches very clearly is this. God has left the commission of reaching this world for Christ in the hands of the church of the living God. You and I are part of that. And a great church is not defined simply in terms of its numbers. And I like how Tracy put the description of that church in the bulletin. It's when we gather together to hear a word from the Lord and to leave to serve the Lord and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus with the lost world. And that's a mark of a spiritual church or a healthy church or a growing church or a great church. And I want to share with you these five things and ask us to look into our hearts and say, Lord, if every church were just like, every member of my church is just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Well, and there could be so many other things we could share, but I want to share these five with you this morning. A great church, a healthy church, a holy church is marked by a heavenly vision. Where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. In fact, Paul, before Agrippa, said, O King Agrippa, he's explaining what his call to ministry was, thou was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Jesus said to the disciples, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We must never forget we're a part of God's vision for the church. We're a part of God fulfilling his vision for the church by being his sons and his daughters in this old world. What is a heavenly vision? Well, it's an understanding of, first of all, what God wants to do in our lives, and it consists of several things. I've listed three or four for us to consider together this morning for just a moment. One of those things is a church that has a heavenly vision establishes goals for accomplishing those ministry goals. Setting goals. We ought to ask ourselves, how are we doing setting goals? Goals that honor the Lord, honor them. We ought to be willing to do that. That's a part of the vision. And I remember years ago being at a church, serving a church where they put together a long-term vision plan for the future. It was a refreshing thing because the whole church got involved about what the church's responsibilities were in the community and the world. And part of that was developing goals, dreaming the dream. And I'm going to, just a note here under subpoint number A, there are some, possibly, not always, who you might call vision killers, and there are some who are vision fulfillers. And I want the Lord to make us vision fulfillers. Lord, help us have a burden for Bartlett, Tennessee. Help us have a burden for Tennessee and have a burden for our country and our world. And help us to define that burden with a strategic action plan for reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I made myself a note here because somebody once said this, I don't remember who it was. But I heard it from somewhere and it stuck in my heart and mind. Everything rises and falls with leadership. And I feel an awesome responsibility as pastor to be the leader that God wants us to be, that you want me to be. And that's the desire of my heart. I pray the Lord will use us together as a body of Christ to reach people, make an impact on this community. And one of the things is for sure, if we took time this morning to talk about what God's done in your life through the ministry of this church. Those of you who have been members a long time could share a wonderful testimony about how God has spoken to your heart, through how God has ministered through Calvary Baptist Church. I think back upon my own family. How could I have known many, many years ago when Jamie was a student at Union University? By the way, Union University is a great school. And it's great for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons was, and it wasn't that Jamie visited the library so much. They probably had never seen his face. I don't know that. But I do know he came away from Union University and he was a champion of the billiard tournament. And I thank the Lord for that. Seriously, I'm thankful because you planted some seeds in that boy's heart. Not only was his dad a pastor, but he was at his Christian university and God was using him, and he came to be your minister, students, and youth. God used him in a wonderful way, and today he preaches at the church that he serves as an elder in Texas. Loves the Lord Jesus as a soul winner. Often does weddings and funerals for people. And has a heart for the Lord. Libby and I are blessed because we've been in churches where our kids have grown up in those churches and made an impression on the lives of our family and our children. And I want to tell you, church, right now the young people that are coming here and those that will come are being touched and impacted for the kingdom of heaven because of your faithfulness and your sweet spirit. Thank God for a church that has goals and dreams and a visionary, a church full of encouragers. I wanted to say a brief word about that. I don't know of any church I have ever served where proportionately more people were encouragers than they are here. I'm simply saying there are people every Sunday that encourage my heart and lift me up and bless me. And you don't know how much your encouragement ministers meets my needs and strengthens me. Not only does the church have goals, dreaming the dream, and they develop strategies for evangelism, missions, and discipleship, worship and ministry. And the thing is, not only should we believe these things are a part of our mission endeavor, we ought to develop an action plan to care, like carrying those tracts, sharing the gospel, sharing a testimony with somebody. Churches that are healthy, churches that are growing, churches that are great, have great goals, great strategies, and great action plans. One of the things that blessed me several years ago was being in church serving as pastor, where the deacons got just a real burden for the vision of our church. And there was a season that the deacons were so burdened and had a burden in their heart for reaching the city where we were placed, this Bartlett, Tennessee, for Christ. And I remember that the deacons came together, and there were 70 active deacons at that time in the church. And they came together and said, "Pastor, let's do whatever we can to reach this city for Christ." And part of that was a dream and a vision and a goal to do something to impact the community and catch the eye and the ear of the community. We did you may remember, we found a 3,000-seat tent. No, I'm sorry. It's a 1,000-seat tent. It seated just about the same as mine as our sanctuary. And we had an old-time tent crusade down at the corner of Yale and Sycamore View. And we had that place filled every night with people who came from all around. Your gospel preaching, gospel singing. Great music, great times of service in the Lord. And I run into people now that say, are you the guy who used to pastor Bartlett? I said, yes. And they remind me of something the church did, something the church said, somebody in the church said, something the church had done to reach out to them that ministered to their hearts. What I'm saying is every church has an opportunity to impact its community for Christ with a heavenly vision, setting goals, and establishing a heavenly vision. Number two, healthy churches, growing churches, productive churches are marked by a great godly attitude, marked by enthusiasm. One of the things I found interesting, and I remember in seminary, in Greek class, being so impressed when I realized that the word for enthusiasm is entheos. It means full of God. Sanctify yourselves, tomorrow the Lord will do the wonders among you. Entheos means full of God. God can do anything in His holy power He chooses to do. We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
It's a God who wants to use you and me for His glory. And the church is healthy and strong. It's a God can mentality. It's a whatever it takes mentality. I love this. Lord, how do you make our church as holy and as strong and as powerful as you want us to be? Have attitude there, whatever it takes. We're willing to do it for the glory and honor of the Lord. Somebody once said, we are all either thermometers or thermostats. Thermometers set the temperature, thermometers declare the temperature, and thermostats set the temperature. And the Lord wants us to rise up as Spirit-filled men and women of God and let the Lord lead us and give ourselves for service, that we'll inspire others to come along and into the journey as well. Godly attitude marked by enthusiasm is point number two. Point number one is a heavenly vision. Point number three, this is one of my favorite. A healthy church, a strong church, is marked by a genuine compassion for people. Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. September the 7th, 1970, I preached my first sermon as a young 19-year-old, 20-year-old pastor. I'd just turned 20 a few days before. And I preached on this very text. I preached on having a burden for people when Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion on them. Some of the writers believe that Matthew 9 could have read, and Jesus wept for the people. He had a burden for people. Great churches have a heart for souls. Thank God for Calvary and the burden that you have of people who need the Lord Jesus. Great churches are marked by a commitment to excellence. Colossians 3:23. Paul said, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Give God your very best. We ought to give God our very best. The marks of a healthy church, the marks of a growing church, the marks of a strong church are commitment to excellence. Whatever we do, do it well as unto the Lord. And number five, a commitment to sacrificial service and stewardship. The passage before you in your study guide, Romans chapter 12, is one of my favorite verses. I preached from it not long ago. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. A commitment to sacrificial service and stewardship. Jesus uses imperfect people that He fills with His Holy Spirit, anoints for service and ministry. And God's got a role for every one of us. And the thing is, we don't all have the same spiritual gift, but we all come together to make the body one whole unit that loves the Lord, has a vision, has a commitment to excellence, has a genuine compassion for people, and has that commitment to doing things well out of us unto the Lord. And has a commitment to service and stewardship. We've got some of the hardest working people I've ever seen. Some of the folks that are so faithful, take care of everything from the building to the grounds, to service and ministry, and you can name it. We have some great servants who love the Lord and are great examples to all of us. That's what helps make a strong, healthy church. So my prayer would be, Lord, thank God for the great days Calvary has had in the past. Thank God for what you're doing in our church today. It's seldom that we have somebody visiting with us in our church, sitting in our seats, worshiping with us, that somebody's not invited to come or encouraged to come or brought with them. Keep up the good work. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I pray that we'll look back on these days and say, Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for using us for your honor and glory. And thank God for the history that we have, the opportunities that we have for the present. And thank God for the great future that we have, the children living on. One of these days, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. By the way, did you hear what I heard last week? 2 weeks ago, maybe, Libby told me this, that a friend of ours posted on Facebook. Don't you love Facebook? You know you can believe everything you hear on Facebook. But somebody said the Lord was going to come last Wednesday. I got my bags packed. He didn't come. One of these days, bless your heart, one of these sweet days, he's going to come. The shout of God, the voice of the archangel. The dead of Christ shall rise first. We which are alive remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Saying what? Lord, make us a great church. Make us a strong church. Make us a powerful church for the honor and glory of the Lord. And people come here, may they sense Jesus lives among God's people in this place. Not a bad question. Not all the deacon asked me. Preacher, what do you think about this? If every member of my church was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Lord, make us more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bow with me for a moment, would you please?